Coming up soon will be Sheil Kapati. I want to play two pieces of audio before we get to Sheil. The first is more from Devin White because, you know, Vic Fangio obviously is an accomplished defensive coordinator. And Devin White talked yesterday about Vic Fangio's methodology of coaching, not in this case schematically, but from a motivational standpoint, how Vic Fangio goes about his business. Listen to Devin White talking about Fangio.
Vic is known not to mince words. He's pretty direct.
Yeah.
So how does he handle correction?
He just call you out. You know, call you out one-on-one, call you out in front of the team, you know, tell you that this not good enough or, you know, this piss poor. You know, say it again. Oh, he call you out by your name. He name, number, whatever the first thing come to his mind when we watching the film. You know, we watch film together after practice in the evening, and he'll let you know, like, you know, yesterday it was me on the downhill run. Jalen Carter got one on a block where he didn't do the right thing, but he also praises people, too, when they doing the technique the right way. You know, he's just not just a drag you through the mud type of coach. You know, he pull you up when you're doing something good because the next person can learn from the good that another person doing. JD had a good practice yesterday. He was bending his legs, and that was one thing Coach Vic, he kept saying, like, when your legs are bending and you in this type of stance, you're going to have a good down. And he was showing that throughout the film. So it's not just all about bad, but he will correct you in front of everybody. And you don't want that. You know, that's not a good feeling, but, you know, you will take it, you accept it, and you get better from it.
John, I know this is music to your ears, man.
Oh, this is totally awesome. Yeah. And when he's talking about JD there, I'm assuming he's talking about Jordan Davis.
Right.
And this is exactly what he needs to hear. You're not playing if you're not bending.
Yeah.
When you stand up, like, he is so gigantic, he has a tendency to unbend. And when that happens, people can get underneath them.
That's right.
The play is lost.
Yeah. So, all right, so we found out there Vic Fangio will both get on a guy's butt if he has to, you know, challenge him, but also praise the dude if he wants to, you know, make sure the guy knows he's doing well. So he'll do that, and he'll do it, you know, hardcore. What we also found out yesterday is something Vic Fangio won't do. This was, I thought, funny and different. And so analytics is a big part of sports. Vic Fangio has been leaning into it for years. But you know how many people know his system? One. You know who that person is? Vic Fangio. None of the other 7 billion people alive knows what, even all of his former assistants and players don't know his system. Listen to this. Vic Fangio's got the secret sauce, and he ain't telling, you know, anybody.
How have you embraced analytics?
I love analytics. No, it hasn't changed at all. I love analytics. Give me anything you want, and I'll sort through it and use it as I see fit, but I've been doing analytics myself my own way for years, and I don't share my process with anybody, and even fellow coaches. So I believe in analytics. I think analytics people miss the boat a little bit on what's important, but I'm not going to tell them what's important. I do it myself.
I'm doing that too.
So what's that?
When you say you do the analytics yourself.
I along with what they give me.
So they give you the information, then you process it the way you want to process it yourself.
No, I have a way of doing. I have a system outside of that I use, and I'll use whatever they give me and decide what's relative and what isn't relevant. Huh?
No one else knows your system. None of your proteges have ever.
No.
I mean, that's unbelievable. That is awesome. I mean, listen, it's.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's talking about the numbers that he bends, and he likes to look at certain things.
But it's like fascinating,
certain coaches,
John.
Like certain stats.
He won't even tell his defensive coaches.
Love it.
I mean, look.
It's just what he likes. He's talking about his preference, the way he likes to run it, and his personal twist.
He also
everything.
Thinks it probably helps him keep a job or get another job, because if he's got an advantage. Look, I do stuff here on the show. Now, I've told 2 or 3 people in my – I use analytics for sports radio. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. Sports radio analytics. But I don't tell probably more than about 3 or 4 people in my life what some of those methodologies are. Seltzer, maybe I told 3 or 4 people too many.
Yeah, know? Well, I'm one of the people you've told, so I'll keep it to myself.
Exactly. All right, let's go to our next guest. You know, Sheil Kapati does a wonderful job covering the Eagles for the Athletics. By the way, you can also weigh in on the Phils, who – 2 things you might not know about the Phillies. One – in playing Cleveland tonight and for the next 3 days, the Phillies are playing the team with the second best record in baseball. So this is a big-time series the next couple of days. So Phils and Cleveland could be a World Series preview. The other thing about the Phils you might not know, last 38 games, 19-19. That's not hot shakes. That's not good stuff. So Philly's certainly on the table as well, but a lot on the Eagles today.
Some, hot shakes. That's the first time you've used that.
Hot shakes. You know, going back to the 50s or
hot
something.
Hot
you know?
Shakes.
Yeah, what
hot
does that
shakes.
Even mean? Like, who's drinking a hot shake?
Is that a thing?
But you've heard the term.
Of course.
I don't know.
No, I have. I have.
I don't know that I have.
I don't think I have, honestly.
Hot shakes.
Yeah, still
I've heard
hot
it.
Shakes.
No, I've heard it. Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah. But probably Mississippi used it in Happy Days.
Maybe.
You know? Like it's,
it maybe.
You
know, maybe it
one
wasn't.
Of those things. All right.
Sounds antiquated.
So a lot on the Phil, some on the Olympics, but a lot on the Eagles today. And Shil Kapadia covers the Birds and the entire National Football League for the Athletic. We saw him yesterday at camp, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Shil.
Joe, you got to recheck the analytics, because while I did have a wonderful time working at the Athletic, I now work the Ringer
for
2 years. Joe,
I'm
come
so
on,
sorry.
The numbers,
come
Joe.
On, Joe.
Come on.
That was a bad
here?
Job there.
Call Vic.
Yeah, a little inside baseball. It actually even says it on his show sheet every day.
My fault.
Just,
my fault. So, Shil, the last time I made that type of mistake was last year when I introduced the now no longer defensive coordinator of the Eagles,
Sean Desai. Oh, that was bad.
And I said, so your first chance being a defensive coordinator in the NFL. He's like, well, you know, I was the Bears coordinator for a year. You know what I wanted to shoot back at him, Shil? I wanted to say, yeah, I guess your ass got fired. But I held back because he kind of owned me in that moment. So fair
Let's
enough.
Let's hope that my fate is better than Sean Desai's after your gap.
That's right. All right. So from the Ringer, our guy Shil Kapadia. So Shil, you had your eyes all over practice yesterday. What was the main thing that stood out to you?
Yeah, the big thing to me yesterday was Jalen Hurts and how comfortable he looked in that offense. Because I was at the spring practices, and I got to say, I don't want to put too much into spring practices, but I was a little concerned that, you know, this offense does not look like it's clicking nearly on all cylinders. And I thought yesterday Jalen Hurts was in full command with stuff pre-snap, with his accuracy, throwing the ball. And then a big thing that stood out, if there was any, you know, questions about, well, is Kellen Moore still going to use Jalen Hurts as a runner, and what's that going to look like? Jalen Hurts was a huge part of the designed run game yesterday. Now, it's only one practice, but, you know, they're getting their base stuff in there, and so it looks to me like Jalen Hurts' legs are still going to be a big part of this offense.
Shil, how different does it look in terms of shotgun versus under center, motions, you know, things that we were concerned weren't included last year, like pass protection, maybe. How different does it look? How real, how good is this offense going to be?
There was one snap where Jalen Hurts is under center and Devontae Smith goes in motion from right to left. And they hand the football off. I mean, what a concept. It is
wow.
Stuff that we didn't see all of last season. I thought to myself, so then I went home and I looked up the numbers. Eagles were in shotgun or pistol 94% of the time last year. By far the top percentage in the NFL. Eagles used motion at the lowest rate of any team in the NFL last season. So I'm
Incredible.
Not telling you, you know, they're all of a sudden going to turn into the Kyle Shanahan 49ers where they're doing it 25 times a game, but the key to me is you want answers to the problems that the defense is presenting to you. And we all saw it with our own eyes last season, specifically at the end of the season. They did not have answers. And so it
Why was it so simple, Shio, last year? Why did they not include things in the offense, incorporate things that every other offense includes that helps with these problems?
I mean, I think you have to look at coaching first and foremost. I think they come off the Super Bowl season and they said, what we're doing is working, and let's just keep doing more of that and perfect that. And they didn't have the other stuff in their playbook. And then all of a sudden you get in the middle of the season and it's week 12. And in practice, are you going to have time to implement these other things? I don't know. I don't have an answer. I talked to you guys every week last season, and we were all confused by it, didn't know how. We were watching. But I guess the good news is that it looks like Kellen Moore is at least modernizing this offense.
So a couple new additions on the offensive side of things that I wanted to ask you about. Mekhi Becton, a lot of people talking about the possibility that he could actually be a starter. He could win his way out there. And Paris Campbell was a guy who kind of shined for me. I wasn't expecting the burst from Paris Campbell. I didn't expect him to be as big as he looked. I thought both of those guys sort of stuck out to me. Are they both players that you feel as though could contribute this season on the Eagles squad?
I'm a yes on Becton. You know, I think that was a smart signing. I think he's got a lot at stake. This is a former first-round pick who, you know, he's in a, on a one-year deal. And if he plays well, if he starts, or if he comes in as a backup and plays well, he's going to get a nice contract next offseason. If he doesn't, you know, around the league, they're going to look at this and say he couldn't do it in Philadelphia with Jeff Stoutland and with that team. Well, we're not really going to take a flyer on him. So I'm interested to see. He's playing at a bunch of different spots. He's a monster of a man, and he looks like he's got the right attitude, and he understands what's at stake here. So that's one to watch. I'm not as bullish on Paris Campbell. You know, Paris Campbell has been – he's just been in the NFL since, 2019, and he's had one season where he's had more than 200 yards. So, hopefully it works out for the guy. I'm not – you know, there are these stories in the NFL where it happens, but he's a guy to me where if you're asking me who's going to be the wide receiver three – on the Eagles in week one, I kind of think it's going to be someone who's not on the roster right now. I think they're going to scour the way. It might not be a big name, but maybe it's someone on the waiver wire. Maybe it's a low-level trade where you give a sixth or seventh round pick for someone because I don't know. Now, maybe those guys will impress, and I'm totally wrong about that, but that's my feeling right now.
I'm shocked. I thought Paris Campbell looked a lot more sudden than I expected, and you know, like, that could be a good sign. He could be surprising. On the other side of the football, who are our second and third best cornerbacks, Sheil?
Yeah, I've been, you know, looking at Kelee Ringo since the spring and wondering, is this guy going to really compete for a starting spot? I thought he had a good spring. I thought when he played last year, he started four games. I don't think he was a liability. Last year, if you look at it, he's got the physical tools in terms of size and speed. He's actually younger than Quinyon Mitchell, if you look at kind of how old they are, even though he got drafted a year earlier. So, I think that's obviously going to get sorted out in the weeks ahead. That's the big position battle. But I wouldn't rule Kelee Ringo out for that starting outside spot. And then the slot one is really interesting because I thought it was going to be Cooper DeJean. If you asked me a week ago, I said, DeJean's going to start there as the nickel. But he has the injury. And so now you're seeing Quinyon Mitchell is getting reps inside, in the slot. You saw that yesterday. You saw Vic Fangio talk about it. So I don't know if they're going to be at a comfort level with Mitchell where they say, yeah, throw him out there in week one. He's good in that role. Or whether it's going to be DeJean or whether it's Avante Maddox. So, I know I didn't fully answer your question. I would probably say Kelee Ringo and Quinyon Mitchell are probably 2 and 3 to me right now, but it's just a question of can Mitchell play in the slot.
So what about these other guys that I saw out there yesterday, like Tyler Hall, Isaiah Rogers? I mean, they're out there running with the ones. Are they sort of like placeholders in your opinion until the young guys learn enough to be out there?
I think Rogers is an interesting guy. I mean, he's played in the NFL and been a solid corner, and he's still young. So, no, I wouldn't say he's a placeholder. I would put him in that competition. I just mentioned Ringo first, but it wouldn't shock me if Rodgers makes some noise here and if he plays well, if he earns some playing time. Hall, I think, is more of a backup slot type option for them where, you know, who knows, based on injuries and what happens in practice, maybe he earns it, but that would be way more of an upset than Isaiah Rogers.
So Sheil, to linebacker and Devin White, we've been playing a lot of audio today of Devin White. We loved what he said. The question is really, can he still play at a high enough level to be impactful? What is your sense of what he brings athletically to the table at this stage of his career?
Yeah, athletically, he's still got it. There's no doubt about it when you look at the measurables. He was an interesting guy to me in terms of Vic Fangio and the Eagles bringing him in because I don't think his strength in Tampa was kind of his instincts or, high football. It was just the physical tools. That's what you talk about when you talk about Devin White. You know, they had a veteran linebacker in Levante David next to him who could kind of direct him a little bit and get him in the right places. And when he was doing that and not thinking and just playing, that's when he was at his best. So I thought it was a fine flyer to take, you know, at the price that they got him. Now, am I confident that they've solved their linebacker problem? I'm not. We'll see once the game starts. I think that's going to be something every offense is going to come in and they're going to say, we can pick on the Eagles linebackers. I mean, that's what we saw to a degree last year, and that's what we're going to see this year. And really, that's what you see with a lot of NFL offenses now is they say, hey, attack the middle of the field. That's where the weakness is. Those linebackers can't keep up with our guys, cause some uncertainty with them, and that's how we're going to win football games against the Eagles. So they're going to be tested early and often for sure.
Shio, I want to play audio of Vic Fangio from yesterday, and I know you heard this yesterday, but him talking about Bryce Hoff, and I'm curious your interpretation, if this is an old-school coach trying to push a player with some public, you know, stuff, or if we should be kind of concerned that Bryce Hoff just doesn't have enough at this point to warrant $51 million player. Here's Vic Fangio and what he said yesterday about Hoff.
In New York, Bryce Hoff was essentially a pass rush specialist. You guys have him starting here. Why do you think he'll be able to be a guy that can play on base downs?
Well, I think everybody thought he could. And knowing that the floor was just rush downs. But he's taken the challenge on very well. And I do think he has the talent to do what we want him to do. It's just he's got to get familiar with doing it. And so it will be a work in progress. Does he look like he could do it today? No. But I do think eventually he will.
Bryce isn't ready to be that guy yet. What does he need to do to become that guy?
Constantly show improvement and a feel. It's more of a feel. He has the talent to do it, but he's never been asked to do it. I don't think in college and nor with the Jets. So it's new, and he's got to become more proficient at it.
Shea, what do you make of that?
I think he's just being honest, honestly. I didn't think that was, hey, play some games through the media and motivate a guy. Now, I could be wrong, but yeah. I was standing there, and I thought every question he answered, I loved it. Because the guy is just honest and is a straight shooter, and he doesn't. You see what I?
So I agree with you, Shield. But is that then a concern as it relates to Bryce Hoff at $51 million? I mean, you know, Brandon Graham playing as much as he did yesterday is not ideal. Brandon Graham at this stage should not be the starter. Bryce Hoff should be the starter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they took a leap of faith with Bryce Hoff. I was saying this at the time. Bryce Hoff played 480 snaps last year. Hassan Reddick played 862 snaps. I mean, that's a major, and that was a career high for Bryce Hoff. He had never played more snaps than that. He's never done what they are asking him to do. Now, sometimes in free agency, you want to identify those guys and you want to project them and say, well, they're going to be able to do this, and you want to hit more often than you miss. That's what they're doing with Bryce Hoff, but there's no proof of concept here, and there's not going to be, because you're not going to put the pads on in training camp. You're not going to play him a lot in the preseason, and so you're not going to have a great answer to this until it's week one and we see how he holds up against the Green Bay Packers. That's just the truth of it.
All right, Shea, we look forward to talking football all season with you. We also know you can do the other sports as well. I'm going to give you three rapid-fire questions, other sports, looking for your answers. Number one, Joel Embiid in the Olympics, thumbs up or thumbs down? Do you like that he's playing for Team USA, or do you think it's too much of a risk?
I don't feel that strongly, but I'll give a thumbs down. I mean, I would rather just the guy rest in condition and doesn't need to be doing that, but I don't feel that passionate about it.
All right, question two. While the Phillies could use help at reliever and outfield, if they only make one move, which do you think is more important they make? Add an outfielder that starts or a relief pitcher that's a meaningful relief pitcher?
That's easy for me. That's outfield. I don't want a series where the bats go quiet. I know the relievers have struggled recently. I still believe in them. Let's look at the bigger body of work. Alvarado's going to get it together. Give him 6 or 7 weeks. Love Jeff Hoffman. Strom's going to be good. And you got something in Kirkering. I need a bat over an arm, and I don't have to think twice about that.
I agree with you on that. All right, Shield, third question. It's our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's Chevrolet's quality certified pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. The poll question today, Shield, which of these sports, and this goes for everyone listening, you can vote at SportsRadioWIP on Twitter. Which of these sports, Shield, this year are you most looking forward to watching with the Summer Olympics? Is it basketball, gymnastics, swimming, and diving? Or track and field?
That's easy for me. That's basketball. I'm still a sucker. I think they play Sunday. I'll be watching them. Yeah, you know, we grew up and the NBA guys early on weren't playing, so now that they're playing, it's fun to watch that many great players together. So that's easy for me.
Shield, nice work, buddy. We'll talk to you a ton in football season. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Take care.